He actually came in and picked it up.
Is this what?
Then 9/11.
Oh, okay.
All right, we'll turn the time, welcome to the work session of the North Salt Lake City Council. Hello, Natalie. And we will turn the time over to, was it Todd?
I'm Johnny Ferry.
Johnny.
Johnny Ferry. Perfect. All right.
I'm gonna sit over there.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm sitting there looking, I'm waiting for you to walk in the room.
We should probably save these five for the council every week.
Well, there's like 10 on that side, so.
And Councilmember Baskin was going to join us, so let's go see, I don't see her yet, but. We can get her on the phone as well.
Sounds like that's her.
We always sit on this side. I don't know why.
Make sure you have all this old people on.
Johnny?
Can't figure Zoom out.
Is your dad John?
Yes, he is.
I knew him when he was on the Sitla board, he's amazing.
Yeah, that's my dad.
Okay, are you in the legislature, is that your cousin? Your brother?
Oh, my goodness.
She'll want to go to the work session.
Yeah, your dad's great.
So the meeting you want is the work session, where that starts at 6:00. We're out processing cows just on Saturday.
That was a really great thing, to have someone who like understood all of that on the Sitla board.
Yeah.
They did a lot of that.
There's three different links, is why. So you have to find the link for the work.
Do you want me to text her the link?
Yes.
Sorry, we have one council member, we're trying to make a case.
Oh, yeah, there you are, you're in. All right.
Wait.
No problem, thanks. Okay, she's on.
All right.
Thank you for your time today, I'll make this quick. So, as was stated, my name is Johnny Ferry. I was actually born and raised in Corinne, out west of Riverside. My family are cattle ranchers out there, and that's what I did growing up. Now, that's one part of my family. The other part of my family, we own a company called Honeyville, we're a food manufacturer.
Sure.
So, our headquarters are up in the Ogden BDO. If any of you ever eaten, if any of you have made Kodiak cakes lately, we made that powder for you. So, the Kodiak cake brand is based out of Park City, but the production of all of that is done by Honeyville. We also do a lot of product for people like Betty Crocker and Clean Island and other food products. So my life is, that's my role, that's my. So why am I here about 9/11? I don't know, really, that's, I actually, my connection is with Jenny Taylor. So are all of you familiar with Jenny Taylor? Have you had a chance to meet her or interact or know about her and what she does? Jenny Taylor is the wife of Major Brent Taylor, mayor of North Ogden, who was killed in Afghanistan. Jenny wishes she could be here tonight. We actually split up our workload because we go around and prepare for this in different ways. A year ago, she reached out to me. She happens to be on PTA with my wife. And so that is the connection that I have to Jenny. And she knew that I like to do things, and so she said, Johnny, it's the 20th anniversary of 9/11. We want to do something more this year. And we don't know what we're going to do, but if you have any ideas, bring it to a meeting. That next day, we met with all the sheriff, all the fire, all the first responders, and military members, and just said, hey, we want something that's going to be unique for remembering 9/11. So when I say 9/11, how many of you remember where you were and exactly what you were doing? All of us do, right? Mayor, where were you?
Well, it's a long story, but my wife had a baby, and this was the first morning that she'd gotten back up and gone to aerobics. So I flipped the TV on, and they, you know, there it was. They just said a plane had hit the World Trade Center, so I started watching it.
I think there's every one of us have a similar story to remember.
Of course, I can remember John Kennedy, too, so I.
It's like that type of experience with someone that they'll remember. I was in Las Vegas at a food show, and my CEO of the company, Dr. McDonald, said, hey, turn on your TV, I don't think we're going to the food show. And we didn't, So what, one of the ideas or thoughts was, have any of you ever been back to the 9/11 memorial in New York City? So we have, but not everyone. It's a very somber experience, something that you just never forget. And it's amazing to think that there were these tremendous towers that
I switched the audio. Didn't help.
Some of the other things that happened subsequent to that. But as you... For us, when we... I've been there several times, and so the idea of the thought was this
audio
is unique.
Backup speakers on.
Oh, that's the problem.
Anyway, so I've been back to the 9/11 Museum several times. We don't have crushed vehicles and crushed things, you know, to display. But what we do have is we have memories, and we have pictures, and we have videos. And so is there a way that we could incorporate that into creating something for the public to experience? Because 20 years ago was actually quite a long time. My kids weren't even born, and I was hoping, I wanted an experience for my kids. This is the whole reason I jumped on board. I wanted an experience for my kids to be able to go through and remember and interact with what I remember 9/11 to be. So let me tell you, so we did this in Weber County last year. It was a tremendous success. In 2 days, we had over 15,000 people, and by the end, we had lineups out the door. We had to cut people off and just say, sorry, we just have too many people. But what is it that we did? I'm going to take you through that right now. All right. First of all, just as a background, there's information we've collected from. So this is in partnership with the 9/11 Museum, the actual museum itself. So they provided many of the materials that we used in the event. Oops. There we go. So we reached out to the Davis County Commission, and they have made arrangements for us to reserve the Legacy Center for the full week leading up to 9/11. 9/11's on a Sunday this year. And so we have the large facility. This is an overhead shot of that. We have three things that are happening. We have the event center, which has the memorial exhibit, as well as the community part of this. We have a touch a truck event, which is out in the parking lot, and then public parking. Let me take into details then. So this is the Legacy Center, you've seen it before. Essentially what we've created is a walkthrough experience. And so the best way to show you is this is in detail of that walkthrough and the flow process. This is last year's Weber County. We've updated this for Davis County. But the idea was that as you walk into this event, the main way we do this is 4-foot by 8-foot printed boards. And these 4-foot by 8-foot printed boards are visual images of everything that was leading up to 9/11, as well as the subsequent events afterwards. We take you back to pre-9/11, which is the 90s, right? We want you to take your kids through and understand what the 90s were. What was going on? What was going on through our minds and what was happening? In fact, the day of 9/11, the number one top story prior to 9/11 was Michael Jackson's birthday party. That was the top story of the day. And then 9/11 hit, and it changed everything. So what you do is you walk through, you get, this was Weber County, but we are highlighting Davis County. So you as a city will get two of these boards to highlight your city. What I'm looking for is four images that tell the story of your city, as well as a little info board that people can read about and understand. Just a small paragraph that says, this is who we are, this is what we represent. We expect to have about 50,000 people who will attend this event here in Davis County. And as those people walk by, they will see the highlight and showcase of your city. In a second, I'll show you what that means. But here's Davis County. Then we get the state of Utah. What was going on in the state of Utah back before 9/11? Then we have the pop culture section, where what was going on in the world. And then you walk over across a Brooklyn Bridge, a rebuilt Brooklyn Bridge. And you see New York. And you have the two towers that are standing there. And then you walk and see what was going on in the world at that time. Over in the corner, we've got a tunnel that's almost the size of this that you walk in through, and it's 16 feet long. It's a subway tunnel. And as you walk out of that subway tunnel, you get the first sounds of 9/11 and the events of 9/11, the pictures, the images. We have 20 TV screens that are placed throughout the exhibit to be able to see visually those events as well. Plus, we have 4 documentary rooms where you can stop and watch a documentary about the events of 9/11 too. After the 9/11 events, we have the response, which was the War on Terror. And then we have a section that's probably most important to this event, which is a call to action. I think if you remember 9/11, then you also remember how you felt on 9/12.
how you wanted to participate, be part of the community, go out and hug your neighbor. You get that same feeling when you walk through this. And we want to capture that call to action. So there's a patriotic theme of what can I do for my country, my city. And then from here, you go into the community hall. The community hall is 60 booths of volunteer people like the Red Cross and service organizations. It's a community fair for people who have that, now that I want to do something, to go up to those booths and talk with the police and fire. We actually, it was amazing how many people came out and had connections back to 9/11. We have pieces of the plane that are on display. And we have different things that I can show you. One second. Anyways, this is probably the best way to see it, but I think this will work if I push. There we go. All right, let's see if I push one more time. Nope. Maybe go back and see if your mouse will let that. Yeah.
And I might, Lisa's not hearing any of this.
No.
We're going to need this.
So here is the community hall that we're setting up. I don't know if you can go to full screen on that, but that's the community hall. We had the local middle schools come out and help us build it all. We set up almost 500 different flags that were led you to the event. This is the outside of the facility that we use. These are those 4-foot by 8-foot frames that we had donated and built. Davis Technical College is going to build those for us, and then we assemble them. Local volunteers and community members will help us to put them all together. There's over 400 of those. Those are the picture boards that you see, that you walk by, and as we set them up, we'll do this in 2 days. It takes 2 days to set it all up. This is the end result. This is that city area. This is where you will have a spotlight like this in those 4 pictures to be able to highlight your city. This is how we did it in Weaver, and now you can get an idea of what we're looking for. Then the kids come in. We expect to have about 5,000 kids that will attend and put on, PTA is going to direct it. You can see the TV screens. You can see the events, the pictures, just to highlight the things that were going on 9/11. It's dark lit, but it's professionally lit, so you have kind of that atmospheric sounds and the events of what were going on. Here's that subway tunnel I was talking about. And then you walk out and you can see all the different things, the images that we remember from 9/11, right?
How do schools register for this?
You might want to check. I'll have to ask Jenny because she's in charge of that side of it.
Great.
But we've already been working with the Davis School District, and they've got it set up. So it's 6th graders, I believe. There's one. It's limited by the number of people we can get through. Here's the writing letters. We wrote hundreds of letters to local fire, police, military, as a thank you for them. And then we had a really cool event where we took it to to different members of the military and those who they were directed to.
So how many days does this go on?
It's going to go from Tuesday to Saturday.
Tuesday to Saturday.
But again, these are the students attending. This is the community side things that we have. Out in the parking lot, it's touch and truck. So we've arranged to work with the military, fire, police. They'll have vehicles that'll be out there for the kids to climb on, bring their family, bring their kids. What a very interactive experience, because we want to showcase the service members.
No
sound.
Okay.
I took it off because there is the video that I'll share with everybody, and you're welcome to look at it again with the sound.
It was narrated by Bruce Springsteen.
For volunteers, basically we put the word out, and we have about, last year we got about 400 volunteers is what we need, probably similar this year. They're 2-hour windows. People can come and donate their time. And what ended up happening is people would come out, have an amazing experience, and they would sign up for another 2 hours, another 2 hours. I mean, it's that type of an event. It's free to the public. All volunteer. Myself, Jenny. I'm the co-chair with Jenny, and we're free to, we just doing this because we
Are you ready to take a new look at your future?
Nope. Probably have to exit. That's probably you.
A new look at the world around you.
Probably just continue. If you go back to the presentation, there it is. All right. Okay, so here's the dates. Sunday, or really, we're going to get all, we've narrowed it down. We're going to get set up all of that on Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday, we'll have an opening morning where it's a VIP morning. We invite you as city council members, Mary, welcome to attend. Last year we had the governor come out and other dignitaries from the local local area, but we welcome all of you to attend that Wednesday morning. We'll have a breakfast and then we'll go through, that'll be the opening VIP tour of this event. And then we'll be open to the schools Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 9 to 2, open to the public from 4 to 9 the rest of the time, okay? And then we tear down, we take it all down in 2 hours. It's amazing how many people we get out. So we have a plan, we're going through that, we've got our goals, our budgets. One thing that cities are doing is some of the cities have donated, we have sponsorships, so that's how we pay for it. A lot of local businesses have contributed to this. We've got nearly $50,000 raised so far just in the past 2 weeks. And we expect that our goal is to hit $100,000. Some of the cities have donated. They just a suggested amount was $1,000 if you'd like to. You'll get a sponsorship and your name on everything. You don't have to do that, though. I understand how the cities, how they work, and that's fine. But if you'd like to participate, or here's what I'm asking you to do. I need a contact to help me find those four pictures, or to sign off on the ones that I get.
We'll give you that.
Okay, perfect. And then the second thing is, watch for the marketing. Help us to post this on social media. Get the word out. And if you'd like to participate, or if you know of any talent that's really good at volunteering and being a part of this type of an event, we welcome them to be a part of it.
Can you send me that information so I can pass it on to the Youth City Council?
Absolutely.
This is right up their alley.
Yeah, that would be great. So yes, we can reach out and get that done too.
I don't get to vote about this, but I think we could come up with $1,000.
I think $1,000 is not quite enough. I'm a little embarrassed. I thought maybe he misspoke when he said $1,000.
Really, we want this to be something that we can showcase for the county. But if you feel like you can discuss amongst yourself, but we are we have had others who have donated more than that too. So whatever you want to do, please.
Do you have volunteer opportunities for younger groups, even younger than Youth Council, like 10 to 13 range?
Absolutely, and especially if usually it seemed like at about like 12 years old and up is they could be on their own, but if you want to have somebody there with them to kind of help them, people come walking through, and they it's basically directing them of where to go, that type of thing.
So the volunteers would be the directing.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So like with setup and stuff earlier on, would you have need of anything?
We
like
had
that?
Kids. Yeah, we had a group of sixth graders, a whole mm-hmm. school of sixth graders that came out and helped out.
I have a Girl Scout troop that might be
That would be
interested.
Perfect. In fact, the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts will have a booth to showcase. And so as people walk up, it's like, what do you do for the community? So that's the kind of stuff that we're doing.
Great.
Any other questions anyone has about this event? So again, I'm asking for a picture connection, and then if you could help us, when you see the media posts about this, help us get the word out. We expect the news. Last year we had Jeff Kaplan do a new show from KSL. He did his radio show that day, and then we had Rod Arquette the next day do his radio show from there. We'll do it again this year. You'll see it up on the billboards. People have donated all of that. So it's going to be a really neat event.
We have a communications manager position, a full-time person working on communications.
Perfect.
And public outreach. We'll get you to her number.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah. I've got a card if anyone wants to reach out to me.
Yeah,
if you take one.
Thank you.
Yeah, right.
And you could even just leave them there on the
perfect.
Sheet, and then if somebody wants,
okay.
You can get them.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Anything else?
No,
it's a great project.
So if the next thing, if we could just, we're looking to get the pictures and images by the 1st of August, just so we can get them all
great.
Printed off and everything. So, mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, guys. Appreciate your time.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stan, you've probably got pictures already. I can see the wheels turning.
Well, I'm just trying to think what we want is, this is a little bit different.
Do you want to move to your...
Yeah, we're going to do, we'll do this in the...
I bet we all have pictures of, like, our family doing something in North Salt Lake in the months before 9/11.
Or are we highlighting the city, though? That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
If it's more like, you know, what do we, I mean...
I don't even know if I remember kind of what's going on. I was working up in at BDO.
Are we having trouble?
Lisa and Sherry are not hearing anything. Besides the different audio and things, I don't know.
Should we move into the council chamber?
If that's easier, we can.
We could do that, or we can get Lisa on the phone so she could at least hear this. I don't know. Did you?
Well, if we want to take a minute and move to the other room, that's probably a safe.
Lisa says, I am able to hear things.
Oh, okay.
Yay.
But that was at 6:13. Can you still hear?
Can you still hear us, Lisa?
Yes, I can. It's a little more garbled than just moments ago when the presenter came, but yes, I can hear you.
That's because they're wearing masks.
I switched
I'll take
speakers.
My mask off.
Johnny was.
Lisa, can you hear us now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Well, we'll hope for the best.
Okay. So can you...
Now get out of this. I'm going to go full.
Make that
this.
From the beginning. Well, that 9/11 project is going to be a wonderful project. So that's exciting. This is less exciting, but still long range, very
this is
exciting.
Not less exciting.
A lot of people
very exciting.
A lot of people like Councilmember Van Langeveld have worked very hard on this project. This presentation is one that we've been trying to figure out how to put the proper scope on this first meeting. Before we're done, I'm going to suggest that we have an additional work meeting, and I'll work my way into that recommendation towards the end. But this will be a complex project, mostly because of what it costs. Not because there's any lack of will or desire to get it done, but this will be a challenging project for us. I thought it would be helpful for the council to really understand the process we've gone through and the steps that we need to take to figure out how to make some decisions on this project. So. Just let me give you an overview. I always think this is helpful, especially if some time has gone by between the time we last talked about this project. This is the property that's approximately, that's a little over 15 acres in size.
It looks just like Utah.
Altogether. What's that?
It looks like the state of Utah.
It looks like the state of Utah, which is so really bizarre. Yeah, we didn't mean that, did we? I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't have bought this property. Then it would really be more like the state of Utah. This one and that one. Anyway. So there's a few things going on this map. One, you'll remember in this colored area, this has a restriction on it from the federal government, the Land and Water Conservation Fund, which has to do with how the city acquired the property years, decades ago. And it has really impacted our thinking in the design. What we can't do, we know we can't build new buildings in there without going through kind of a revision and a federal approval process, which we could do. We've never said we couldn't do it, but may be difficult to do. You'll also, on this map, what we're showing here is that the city has acquired, previously to now, several properties along Main Street and four properties on 150 North. We're not intending to acquire these, but we have two additional properties yet to acquire. And so in order for this park to really be pushed out to the streets the way that the general plan intended. And then, of course, at some point during this process, we began to work with the South Davis Rec District on a satellite location for their expansion. So I won't go through, I won't just read all these, but as I said, the city acquired these nine properties that we've acquired so far, beginning in 2016. We demolished a couple of homes that really needed to be demolished. The other homes have residents living in them, and the city rents those properties to folks and receives some income from that.
In 2021, the city formed the Hatch Park Committee, which was a group of stakeholders, representatives from the city staff. I'm not falling over. I just went too far. Had to reach for the wall. Members of the Planning Commission, representatives from the City Council, and from our Parks Committee, and our city staff. And it was a really great group of people. David Franson, I'm sorry he's not here, but did a really masterful job in some of our initial meetings, kind of dividing us up and putting us into groups and going through some really important mental exercises to really get some ideas out on this park. So I feel like the concept one, which we've all said we support, has really got some mighty brain power behind it, and a lot of hard work and effort. So keep that in mind as we move through this project. After that process, which was about a 3 or 4 month process, and we met 3 times, we brought in the consultant, G. Brown Design, and they were in one of those 3 meetings with us, the last meeting, and we out of that meeting, the committee met again. Members of the committee and a subcommittee met with G. Brown Design. It was refined. The park plans were refined several times. And then we moved into a more formal part of the process where the Parks Committee did a detailed review. And about in here, we began to talk to the South Davis Rec District. So we were trundling down the road without the Rec District for a while. And then the plans changed a little bit in here to accommodate the Rec District's idea that maybe we could combine and do a marriage of City Park and South Davis Rec District. So then we had a meeting in January of this year. We took the concept plans back to the original committee, the entire group. And then in March, we had a city council meeting where the council expressed a preference for design number one out of 2 designs. And so this is the design here that we prefer. This is the design we've been working on since that time. You can see here's the land and water conservation line,
yeah,
right here. And so all of the building that occurs on this plan happens outside of that line. Oh, yes, Lisa.
When you identify something, can you say where it is on the map, or because I'm not seeing a pointer?
Yes.
Sorry.
That's okay. So if you recall back...
Wendy could use the cursor on the mouse.
Yeah.
You could.
So can you see the red or orange area on this map, Lisa?
Yes, I do. And I believe that was where you said it was restricted in terms of water.
So
okay.
As you go here,
okay.
Wendy will use the cursor to what I pointed out. So my point was that the buildings... are located outside of that restricted area. So, if that's helpful to you.
Quick question.
Okay. Yes.
Does that and this represent a modification from what we reviewed as council?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, should be the same plan number one. So, this plan, what I think is really so great about this plan is that it's one of the few parks on the Wasatch Front that would become a truly urban center type of park. It's not a traditional park. It does have some traditional elements in it, like it has some water features, it has pickleball courts, and it has... this is a playground area, which would be really traditional. It has some picnic locations throughout, some trails. But in other ways, this is really an urban park with with a concrete plaza, with things like this sort of pergola area for people to walk in, not in straight lines, but in curved lines. It has water features where people could sit on the edge of concrete and watch a waterfall or a fountain. And that really makes this park unique and different than I think a traditional sort of park. This is just a blow up of the same design. The one area, Wendy, if you'll point to this building here, we're pointing to a building that has a notation of 21 on it. That's a representation of a city community center. So it would be an additional building the city might entertain, which could have a library, it could have some social services, it could have a senior center, it could have some retail in it if we wanted to serve lunch or serve weekend food and drink, those sorts of things. So again, these are conceptual. Okay, without wasting any time, we performed some cost estimates, and I believe we shared that with you in March, that the cost estimate for this park, as shown, was $16 million. We know that as, and Heidi has just started looking at this with me, but when we look at funding streams that might fund this project plus other council priority projects or city priority projects, we know we have the completion of Tunnel Springs Park, which is about 11 acres, depending on how you measure it. And potentially we have some improvements we may want to make at the Spring Hill Landslide location. Now, we're never going to put a sprinkler system in. There's a lot of things we're not going to do. So this may or may not be an expensive item. It doesn't have to be, but it could be. We could invest in some landscaping. We could invest in some trail building. We could invest in some improvements that don't require necessarily building permits or weight on the top of the landslide mass, or water, certainly, in that location. So we know there's competition for the $16 million, and I just wanted to kind of have you keep that in mind as we go through this discussion. And maybe this has already been on your minds. I don't mean to be repetitive here if you're already thinking about this stuff. So here's where we want to spend some of our time today. And I want to give the council plenty of minutes to give us some feedback today. As Heidi and I have looked at a bigger picture, a bigger financial picture, we can't identify a single revenue stream that by itself could either expand or cover a bond payment if we borrowed $16 million. So we're talking about something like $700,000 to $800,000 maybe annually. And so there's currently not really a... There are lots of pieces that can generate revenue to cover the obligation, but there's not one single piece that would have the duration of a 30-year bond instrument, which is really kind of what we need to look at. Now, we don't need to look at borrowing a total of $16 million, and I'll talk about some of that in a moment. And just as a reminder, as I said, this park, and I'm not trying to persuade the council that this is a good idea, but just as a reminder, the city committed itself to this idea in 2013 when we adopted a revised general plan. So this idea is really not it's been vetted, it's been worked on, it's been developed, and it has evolved into a project that is really worthy of doing. totally consistent with the town center master plan. We're establishing thousands of residents who will be able to walk to this park. And it's very consistent with the general plan that we committed to. It's one of the hardest pieces of the general plan. But I just wanted to remind you of the context of this Hatch Park expansion, because it does have a context that's been growing and changing and evolving for many years. So here's where I think we ought to go with this. I mentioned earlier that we ought to have a work meeting, or maybe it's more than one meeting, but I think that Heidi and I should, together with our financial advisors, we should put together some detailed funding options for the council. Some realistic options that would reflect the city's cash position that you would be maybe able to put towards an initial phase, together with some projections out in time, which would show us what revenue streams, if any, are available now. There are some revenue streams available beginning in 2027, and we'd like to kind of lay that out completely for the council. And if you were hoping that's what we were going to do right now, I'm sorry that I don't have that. But we will put that together.
Are you?
Yes.
Are you softening us up to hey, this is going to be incredibly painful, and just prepare yourself?
I don't know that I'm softening you up. I'm my attempt would be to frankly and realistically address the council and say, even if Heidi and I become miracle workers and we shave $5 million off of this, the rest is a hard problem to tackle. So yes, I'm not trying to soften you up.
You're not
necessarily
sugarcoat nothing.
But yeah. I would really want the elected officials to understand, at least after this work meeting, that that this will be a challenging project for the council, and it may become a challenging project for the public. Mayor?
I think we should have some chart on here.
A couple of questions I have. Do we still have the initial plans that don't show a rec center?
We have some concepts that were in progress.
And Jamie, maybe you have some insight here. I think you've been in these public meetings, so I don't know that I'm disclosing anything, but the rec district is tackling some real tough issues right now. Obviously, coming out of COVID, they've taken a real beating. But even more concerning is, if you look at the 10-year history pre-COVID, they had pretty flat revenue, and their costs kept going up. And the mayor of Centerville, for example, is asking some really tough questions, and I don't blame him. I mean, Woods Cross and North Salt Lake are all over this because it finally is something that is in our neighborhood. But I don't know where it's going. Jamie, do you have, I mean, they're going to try to get it on a ballot, and it might pass, but in this hyperinflationary cycle we're in right now, I could see the taxpayers rejecting it flat out, and I don't know where they come back with it.
It's a horrible time to go for a bond.
Yeah,
I think that's a fair representation of where the rec center's at. And for those who don't know, I should just disclose before I get into this that our firm represents both North Salt Lake City and the rec district. And the rec district has consented to that dual representation, but if it ever becomes an issue, just let us know, and we will happily stand back. And
I think they're waiting for us to provide some kind of a letter of intent.
Yeah, so.
And I'm okay going forward with that, but.
I think that's been their ask, that if they go forward with the bond measure as their executive director's hoping to, and as their board chairs, hoping to, the city will acknowledge that yes, there's a place for that facility at Hatch Park.
So we are working on a document to that effect. I think that really covers partnership and the general details of a partnership.
So I guess the reason I bring this up is because one of the questions we might want to ask ourselves is, do we, let's say we figure out a way to move forward, do we just hold off on this piece of property and for someday when?
There 6 years later when they pass the bond.
Yeah, or do we do our own thing?
I also have a question about the financial strength of the city. I know that we survived COVID really well. I lived here during the last recession, so I know you guys did a great job. But I'm a little anxious. Like, I keep thinking about the $6 million in bonds we passed for the other park and for the golf course, and how we are in an economy where sales tax might crash. I know we don't get a lot of money from property tax, but that's gonna be harder to collect.
Yeah.
So is it a great time to say, we have this park, we love it, let's spend $16 million on it?
Yeah.
It's like, would you buy a new car today or would you wait a couple of years?
What would be the time frame for passing a bond or asking for a tax increase?
We're not under any deadline. I think there's some wisdom to the idea that if you're suggesting this, we've talked about waiting to see what's going to happen with the federal government's efforts to arrest inflationary growth.
I can talk about sales tax in the last recession. So in fiscal year 2009, sales tax dropped by 14%, and then the following year it dropped by another 12%. And then we were able back on track again by the end of fiscal year 12.
Back to the baseline?
Back to the baseline, which would have been
so
pre-recession.
Two years of losses, so but then back to operating.
So it took 4 years to get a full recovery back to where we were at.
Which admittedly was one of the deepest recessions the country had ever gone
absolutely.
Through. I mean, I'm not saying it couldn't happen again, because it could. But I would say Utah has the strongest economy in the nation. And our sales tax growth in Utah has been phenomenal. Maybe that does bother you a bit.
I just am also concerned if we have residents who like can't make their house payments or are getting their water shut off, and we're like, we're building a $16 million park, woo!
Yeah.
You know, like...
Sure.
Maybe I'm the only one. If I'm the only one...
I don't think you're
the only one.
I think we have those concerns too. Yeah. And that would be the purpose of having a work meeting.
Yes.
Where we can really, where we can show you what we see today, and we can show you what we think we see in 5 years, 10 years.
That's great.
With variable certainty, of course. But
when was this to the rec district, when were they thinking about pursuing a bond? A, and B, have they changed their timing, their strategy, given inflation, et cetera? Are they looking at waiting X number of years? What do we know about that?
I think their plan was to go this fall.
Yeah, I think so. They've been having the conversations for...
What did Brian just say? You think the word is small?
This fall.
He said that the rec district is intending to go out to vote on their bond this fall.
This fall.
The big picture to that is that for the past probably 3 years, they've been, it was pre-COVID when they began a new general plan process for the rec district of what are the facilities we need, a high level of public engagement to try to figure out what demand was. And then COVID kind of hit the brakes on a lot of things. And as they were coming out of COVID, it was the buildup to a bond is long. And so I don't think they knew when they initiated that inflation levels would be where they were. So they've begun that bond process. They've engaged bond counsel. They've engaged a financial advisor. The rec district board has yet to decide whether they want to move forward or not. But things are teed up for them in a way where if they choose to move forward, they could do it this fall.
And for this project, when would our best case scenario be for us to propose something like a tax increase or a bond?
Well, that's really up to us. So the one thing I was starting to say was 6 to 12 months from now might be a much more favorable time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even the price would come
mm-hmm.
down if we have an. I could see us very
scenario.
Realistically having having less building going on, an oversupply of contractors with an under amount of work, which produces better pricing.
This building is a perfect example. We built this building during the Great Recession, and
mm-hmm.
there are homes up here that cost more than this building.
So, where I'm at on this, maybe this is what's floating around in the room, is it seems like it would be prudent for us to just be more deliberate, just look for the right time.
Yes.
You know, find our opening that is more favorable for the city. And this works against point one, and do it in some way collaboratively with the rec district, with an eye towards getting that facility. And that creates the complexity. That's where my brain is at, is how do we reconcile point one and point
we're
two?
We're competing with them in
yeah.
a sense on bonding and
yeah.
then want to collaborate when we're done.
And of course the city does
right.
not have to do a general obligation bond out to voters. That's kind of my next recommendation is, and this is, it's a little squishy recommendation. Most of mine are, we should do this. It's really a question, because as I think about a $16 million expenditure in a city of our size, if I were in your seat, I would ask myself, are we meeting residents' needs, or is this just a group of people who have worked together in a glass bubble and haven't really done outreach to the public? So what level of outreach do you want to do? Don't think about bonding when I ask that question. I'm really asking, is this the plan, you know, that the public would want you to spend $16 million on? That's another way to ask that question. And do you want to go through a public process somehow to gather that feedback? There are ways to do it scientifically, where we could hire some folks with some expertise that would give you some actual data that would help you understand the level of public desire and support for this. And I think you ought to think about, the recommendation is you should think about how much public outreach, outside of a bond question, how much public outreach do you want to go through on this plan number one that we've now said we love? And what do you think you want to do as the North Salt Lake City Council with your residents to ascertain support for the plan? I think, and this one is just really sort of a pragmatic recommendation, the city has park impact fees in cash today to go acquire the two remaining parcels. My recommendation to the council is that you allow us to do that, and that we go try and wrap that issue up.
Now's a good time to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Could get better, too.
And that is now a good time to do that.
Because costs are down.
Interest rates have gone up.
And interest rates have gone up, but we've already got the money, so we don't have to borrow
it.
It
might go up again.
So if there's less competition for things, people
mm-hmm.
aren't going to be able to say, well, so-and-so offered me this much, because no one's offering anything. I mean,
it's still
home
a strong
sales
market.
Are down.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a strong market, but it's less strong than it was 6 months ago.
But the people living those are going to have to find a place that they can afford
yeah.
to move into if they don't want to sell.
Yeah.
But if we're giving them cash, maybe they don't need to get a mortgage either.
Well, that's to some degree, but they're not what you'd call real expensive homes. So if they move from here to someplace else, I'm not sure they're going to find something in that price range.
Yeah, hard to say.
I will say they've gone up in value a lot.
How much are they worth right now? $350?
Oh, I think closer to $500,000 each.
Yeah.
See, the I know what I'm
talking
about.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. What are they worth now?
Sorry, closer to 450 to 500,000.
Last month, average home price in Daybreak was 566. They'll be able to find something. Prices are down.
So I don't think they are down. I think if those homes are appraised at $500,000, maybe we'll wait a little longer.
Well, I guess I would say this. I'm just going off the top of my head, and we don't really know. If the council were in agreement, we could try to find out the value before you let us off the chain and come back to you. And I guess I'm just seeing some heads nodding in agreement, and maybe I'll come back to the council with a proposal on how to acquire
these. I think what I'm kind of looking at is it's not necessarily the value to an appraiser, it's the value to the people living there. So if you can find them a similar residence, maybe that would maybe be nice. Whatever an appraisal. And of course, that's kind of how an appraisal works, but it kind of depends on the neighborhood that it's in and a bunch of other things. So,
I think there's a real risk in this city becoming real estate brokers for people whose houses we're buying.
Well,
I don't think we want to recommend
No, I'm not saying we'd recommend it. I'm just going to try to get the appraisal done in such a way that it would reflect the value of their property versus something else in South Davis, for example, that they can move into. I mean, that's what the appraisal is going to do anyway, in a sense. It's going to do comparatives on the appraisal.
So we're basically...
Yes, but we have to pay fair market value for the properties, Dan.
Yes, I understand. But
so what I'm hearing with this is if you do a work session, one of the components we ought to add is the legal parameters for offering and acquiring property.
True.
And what...
Yeah.
There will be things we have to follow as we do that to
Absolutely.
Be fair to the people we're purchasing from and to be
right.
open about the basis.
And they have to be willing sellers. We're not really Correct. Authorized to go condemn these parcels for a park.
Excuse me, Ken?
Yes.
Do you think maybe that this should be talked about in an executive session?
Well, not right now because we're not talking about...
Just the strategy of it.
But thank you, though. I think I'll move us on because we have only 5 minutes left. But one of the real questions, this isn't really a recommendation, is I'd like for the council to consider what other information would you like to have to make a decision. I think I'm clear and Heidi's clear that we have a financial exercise and duty to show you what we think we know on the finance part. But are there other things you need to know?
Well, I was going to say that I think it'd be helpful to have a path forward before we go to the public. Because
yes.
the public doesn't want to know what our path forward is.
100%.
Absolutely.
And I also think, and I know that, again, Heidi, you're already told me this, but I think we need some sort of economic forecast to make sure we're not digging ourselves a hole.
Yeah.
But we could also, it's not very courageous, but we could also do a poll, a question of the voters, if they are interested in a park, once we have a little bit more of it fleshed out.
Or do we just put it on the ballot?
I think we hire a survey company. I think we get professionals, we ask everybody the same question and make sure they understand it. And we
use everybody in the city?
A sample. Mm-hmm. But I just mean
like across the whole city.
But you agree that a poll.
To poll the city. I mean, not poll, but
Yeah, we need to do a survey and see what the citizen sentiment is. I believe we do.
Okay, so just to sum up then, we're gonna put together a future work meeting on the finance part of it, on all of it, but on the finance part. We're gonna make a proposal back to the council on a public outreach program. And we'll get back to you before we do anything here. This will all be subject to the council's approval, but we'll start working on a plan to acquire those two parcels, and then we'll meet again.
Can I add one thing?
Yes.
I think there were a lot of points that were brought up that were really good considerations for reasons to pause or reconsider moving forward. However, I don't think any of those rise to the level of deciding to pause or stop moving forward. And the way I see kind of fiscal responsibility here is that we continue, and I know you do this, but to evaluate on an ongoing basis of do we now pull the plug, or is it now, or is it now, or is it now? And at this point, the out-of-pocket cost is such that I don't think there's a reason to stop moving forward yet, although we will continue to evaluate and could do it at any point if we find out that the rec district is not going to do their bonding or whatever, or the inflation is such that this really starts to be looking ridiculous for the city. But I feel like nothing to this point has risen to that amount, and I think it's exciting to move forward and continue to evaluate and keep these things in consideration, and also have that be part of the public outreach. Like, we recognize this might be a season of financial instability, and we will continue to be rigorous in evaluating if this is something that is responsible for our city.
I mean, we also have a council assignment to the staff to evaluate or at least come back to the council with some ideas on a cemetery. And a cemetery is another good project to reach out to the public on. We were noting amongst ourselves that almost two-thirds of the city's population has lived here less than 15 years. And so when you think about people buying cemetery plots, some people do that because they have a stronger connection to the community than less than 15 years. And so, you know, there's lots of subtleties to that question, but that's another one that might lend itself to the hiring of a Y2 Analytics or somebody who can help us get some data on who would be willing to buy a cemetery plot.
So maybe a multifaceted survey.
Maybe, yeah.
Good.
Anyway, thank you for...
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
Letting me
you
walk
know,
through that.
I've got this, I heard this quote and I just love it so much. I'm going to try it out on D right now. The good news and the bad news. We've got all these projects. The good news is we have plenty of money to do it. The bad news is it's still in your pocket.
The problem is my pocket is not as deep as a lot of people think. You know, there's always a lot of people have a lot of money in the stock market, but it's all paper money.
Yeah.
Until you draw it out, and then you've got to take the other things. And I do have a question that
you should do.
I was going to ask Ken, can you do this in steps? Can you section it off and say, here's one, we'll do this, and then another one?
I like
one.
A phased approach as well, Dee. I think that's definitely something we should talk about.
So let me raise one. Let me just throw a whole. And Ken's going to go, oh,
no. No, I never say that.
Because you're seasoned.
Why do we? So we're talking about $1 million to buy two properties. Why don't we put that on hold and put $1 million towards the park?
Without those two properties?
Without those two properties. And then down the road, we go after those properties.
Those two properties are where you're going to put the rec center anyway.
No, those two properties are where we're going to put the ball fields.
Ball field.
So mention to South Davis Rec that we're not going to build the ball field and see what they say. Because I remember when Len was pushing this, he was like, we need more fields.
Well, we do.
And so if we are not going to build the ball field.
If we pulled our parks and rec out of our budget and had it standing alone, it would look pretty pathetic, mm-hmm. You know? It doesn't make money. It's losing lots of money. You know, well, that's kind of where the rec district is. You know, and so the decision we make as a city is, there's value in us having parks.
Mm-hmm.
There's value in us, and so that's where the rec's coming. The rec district's come from. Yeah, mm-hmm. They're losing money. They will always lose money. How much money do we want to help put into it to keep it going, because it adds value to our lives and to our properties.
And I see it as the counterpoint to higher density housing. If we are going to ask people to live closer together, then we provide for them public open spaces instead of everyone gets their own private open space in their own big yard. Nope, you got to live closer together, but you've got this great park to go to.
And if we're doing it in phases and the rec district needs a couple more years to get their bond going, that could be phase four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I think it's always difficult. One of the reasons this is challenging is because placemaking is hard to quantify in dollars and cents.
Mm-hmm.
People know desirable places when they run across them, or maybe they seek them out and go live near them. But that's a much more difficult process to say this is worth X amount to me.
Yeah.
It's more, what do you want your community to feel like? What do you want it to look like? How do you want the town center to function? And anyway. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I wish we had done this 2 years ago, when construction costs were half what they are now, and interest rates were low. And
construction costs will go back down.
Yeah.
Yeah, they very well might.
And the supply chain might start working itself out, too.
I mean, the fortunate thing the city has is time.
Yeah.
You know, it's taken us this amount of time to get to this spot, and we don't have to dive into the deep end on the coldest day of winter. You know, we can wait. We can, as Councilmember Knowlton said, we can carefully pick our window,
mm-hmm.
and we should. It would be the right way to do it.
Well, let's adjourn and move into the discussion.
Brian,
is this
your number?
There'll be more dollars. I've got an angry eye.
I think we should I might have it in here. Okay,
even if construction is $16 million, $16 million today is
recording
more valuable than $16 million.
Or was 5 years ago.
It's like our homes. Who would have ever thought?